B-Pod Studios.
Top. Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Training camp.
Words I actually didn't think I'd ever end up saying again after the world went to hell in a handbasket. It's Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And Patriots training camp today brought to you by your New England Honda dealers. Picture perfect day in terms of the aesthetics and the weather, Chris. Given my pessimistic nature, I can't help feeling, the analogy might not work, but I'm going to go with it anyway. You know when Ralphie is sitting on the toilet in A Christmas Story and he's locked off and he's got his little orphan Annie decoder pin?
Yes.
And he's going through it frantically and he's like, oh, what am I going to win here? What am I going to find out? And it turns out to be a crummy commercial for Ovaltine. A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch. The excitement of us coming down here and doing this today was dampened when I heard Bill Belichick talk ahead of today's training session.
He had some interesting words about the quarterback competition or lack thereof.
Yeah, quarterback competition, there wasn't one at all. Son of a bitch. As I suspected. I thought it was a lot of lip service, unfortunately, going into this between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. And, you hear that Mac Jones kind of dipped here these last couple of days, looked like the better quarterback day one.
I know
you were here the first 2 days.
Yes.
But Bill Belichick today, and we'll have a sound in a bit, but, you know, he's asked about the quarterback competition, and I'm using air quotes here, and he reaffirmed Cam Newton's status, saying, quote, "Cam's our starting quarterback." I think I said that. Well, he did back in April, and then I felt like, you know, ahead of training camp starting up, he said he used the term clean slate.
Yes.
Now, I know that Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, he speculated that meant a clean slate for Cam Newton in that he didn't have a training camp last year. He didn't really have a fair shot at this. They just threw him in, and we all know how it worked, or kind of didn't work. Greg was right. It was a clean slate for Cam Newton. It's Cam's job. Like, I unfortunately thought all along, I wanted to believe, Chris. I wanted to believe. But as in most cases in life, you have to, you know, the actions speak louder than words. Cam has looked better the last couple of days. I think if Mac Jones was going to win this job, then they can still say there's a quarterback competition going on.
Yeah.
He would have to win by a knockout.
And yes.
Dip these last couple of days. And I think that's given enough wiggle room for Bill to now say, well, you know, I've said this all along. Cam's the starting quarterback. And I'm sorry, I can't help but feel disappointed by that.
Yeah, I mean, he did give himself a little bit of wiggle room, and I know we'll get the sound in a little bit here, but this is via Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal talking about this. He did give himself a little bit of wiggle room, saying, well, we'll take a look at the whole situation. I don't think we want to evaluate players at any position off of one or two plays or maybe a day. From a consistency standpoint, that's always important, obviously production. Hopefully those things will be good, and I'm sure it'll be a hard decision, but we'll see how it goes. So he did say it'd be a hard decision, too. I think you set this up pretty well. And this reminds me of last year when I told you guys it was not going to be a competition because somebody in the organization told me it wasn't really going to be a competition, that the thing was basically going to be rigged for Cam to win, and it was last training camp. And it's the same thing here, I think. Like, to your point, Mac would have to win by a knockout, and it's really just being pragmatic on Bill's part because it's a lot easier to go from Cam as the starter to Mac than it is to try and go from Mac starting week one against Miami and then bring back Cam. I just don't know, as good a soldier as Cam has been here, as much as he has imbibed the Kool-Aid, I think if he comes out of training camp and he's a backup, I think you kind of lose the guy. So I think Bill knowing that what he has at quarterback is unknown and uncertain and that he might need both of these guys, he knows that the order matters. The order matters, and going from Cam to Mac is much easier than Mac to Cam. So it's a lot easier to say, look, here's the deal. Cam's our guy. Basically set it up as Cam's the incumbent. It's sort of like baseball. Tie goes to the runner. If it's remotely close, it's going to be Cam. If Cam's horrible and or Mac's like amazing, then they can switch it up. And I think Bill, in those comments I just read, left himself a little bit of leeway to do that. But really, the way you set it up is true. It's Mac Jones would have to win by a knockout. And really, in terms of a knockout, it would have to be Cam knocking himself out with terrible play. As long as Cam is better than he was last year, which it's almost impossible to be as bad as he was last year, then Bill has enough ammunition to say Cam's the guy.
We, in sports radio, and especially I, tend to be drastic at times. Have we been ultimately too hard on Cam Newton?
No.
Does he deserve like a fair shake here? Did we discount some of that stuff last year that he didn't get a full training camp? Because you were here the first 2 days. You said yesterday in Felger and Maz, in your usual appearance, he did look better.
He looks better. He looks a lot better. But he's coming from such a low point that even looking a lot better, I'm not sure, gets him up to average. So let's see. I understand that last year was an unusual year, but I'm not really into using that as an excuse. The one thing that would maybe change my mind, as we've seen a little bit of time go on here with athletes who get COVID, is how they sort of have struggled. You know, the Evan Fournier situation for me with the Celtics was eye-opening. And so maybe that's the one area to give Cam some leeway. But the, like, no training camp and this, you know, signed at this point and all this other stuff. Yeah, I get that. But for him to play the way he played, I mean, basically, 5 of the 7 lowest passing performances of his career came last year. How many games did he get yanked out of? They tied for the league lead in fewest touchdown passes with 12, and he only threw 8 of those. Jacoby Myers threw 2. Stidham threw 2. He was dreadful last year, and there's no way around that. I'm sorry. Like, I can't just write it all off to COVID or not having a training camp. He was horrid last year, and he needs to be a lot better. And again, my question is, even a lot better, does that get him to average?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I just had to ask because, I mean, he does come off. He comes off as the consummate teammate and
absolutely
a good guy.
He loves playing here.
Yeah, and I think his enthusiasm is genuine. But I don't know. I've watched a lot of football in my 44 years, and I just felt like what I watched last year is like, this guy's just cashed. I mean, when he won the MVP in 2015, like, it was legit.
Oh, yeah.
And when he was, you know, Cam at his best, he was bowling over people. The guy's built like a linebacker, for God's sakes. But I just don't think he can really throw anymore. I know that the addition of some of the talent that they've added in the offseason can help, but I don't know. Maybe that maybe gets you a couple more wins, maybe. But overall, you know, there's a good crowd here today. Yes, I've seen your angry tweets. Cry, Murray. What do you just... The first 2 days, guys, it was thin. It wasn't just me saying that. Zoe, Beadle, Hardy, they were here, you know, the last few days. The first few days. And maybe it was weather-related that first day.
I think the first day was kind of thin. Yeah, it was. The weather stunk, frankly. And it was raining the whole time. And it's the first day. And also, the practices have been a little earlier. I sort of give the Patriots and the fans a pass on that first day. Because that first day was not great. And anybody who checked the weather knew it wasn't going to be great.
Yeah, but these last 2 days, it's been packed. And it certainly is here today. Again, picture-perfect day. I do wonder, and I know Beadle brought this up on his show too, like the autograph hound thing, that's got to affect it a little bit, maybe 5 to 10%.
Sure.
Like, a lot of people usually come down here, get something signed. Hey, even a young Jimmy, when they used to have these things at Bryant, would go down there like, I wonder what I can get signed. Got a Chad Eaton autograph one of those years.
Yeah,
very exciting.
He had some nice tats, though.
He did. So, you know, I get that aspect of it. But, no, this is a good take, especially for free. It's just, I don't know, that Mac Jones really doesn't have a legitimate shot to start week one. And I know it was going to be I knew deep down, Chris, it was going to be a long shot anyway, but to hear it this early, it just feels like, again, like a crummy commercial, son of a bitch.
But again, I think Belichick is being pragmatic here. He knows that maybe neither one of these guys off the jump is really suited to carry his team through the whole season. He probably feels like he's going to need both of these guys at quarterback. And in order to do that, I think Cam has to be the guy to start. The other part of this, too, is that at least with Cam, you kind of know to some degree what you're getting. Like, he's good in the red zone in terms of being able to run. He's been good in the red zone passing these first couple of days with the tight ends. The one thing I will say, in fairness to Cam, if you want to say, you know, clean slate and some of the other stuff, is when you look at the weapons last year, and I've said this consistently, no matter who the quarterback was, it was going to be a heavy lift. And the stat that stands out to me is that Cam Newton himself had as many touchdown receptions last year as the entire tight end corps.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again this year. You can see, like, guys like Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, they give him a little bit of leeway, a little bit of sort of space where he can just toss it up to them and they can go up and get it in the red zone. He doesn't have to be pinpoint accurate because those guys are talented enough. So I think that will make a difference. And with Belichick, like I said, I think he knows I'm probably going to need both of these guys Our team is good, but with the quarterback play, our margin for error is not very high in terms of making the playoffs. So I got to make sure I have Cam committed and locked in for the first, let's say, 5 or 6 games. And then we'll see what it's like after that and who we need to play and how much. And do we need to play both guys? Can I get, you know, Cam Newton to commit to being part of quarterback by committee? I think all that calculus factors into what Bill Belichick is saying publicly about the quarterback competition or quarterback non-competition.
All right, there's more to get to from Patriots training camp today. How do you feel about the news about Cam Newton today as well, with Bill Belichick saying ahead of today's session, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I said that. QB competition, it never actually existed. 617-779-0985. It's not just going to be Pat-centric today. There's a ton to talk about.
Yeah.
What with the MLB trading deadline yesterday and the moves, or lack thereof, by Chaim Bloom. We'll get to that. How about the big swinging Hogan at the Shamrock Factory? Brad Stevens, the new president of basketball after the Boston Celtics, pulling off a couple of moves late yesterday. We'll get Chris's thoughts on that and yours as well. All coming up here from Patriots training camp. It's Gasper Mari on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Live from training camp, it's Gasper and Murray, presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's been a while in these parts since there's been kind of an open competition at quarterback. I'm just curious, what are the things you're looking for to help you make your decision?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll take a look at the whole, you know, the whole situation. I don't think you want to evaluate players at any position, you know, off of 1 or 2 plays or maybe a day. So, you know, from a consistency standpoint, that's always important, and obviously production. So hopefully those things will be good, and I'm sure it'll be a, you know, a hard decision. But we'll see how it goes. Just let them play and try to do what we feel like's best for the team based on their performance.
Do you have an ideal time frame for naming a starter to help you get ready for the season?
No. Well, I mean, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I've said that. So
that seems a little different from the other day, because you said the other day everyone starts from scratch. But so is Cam still the starter?
That's right. Everyone does start from scratch, and again, we all have to reestablish ourselves, and that goes for, you know, a lot of other players that you could name as well that, you know, I'm sure in your mind you think they're starters, and maybe they are starters, and they probably will be starters, but they all have to reestablish their positions. So that's across the board for the whole team. It's not, doesn't just pertain to one position.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, the answer to Gasper's former colleague at the Boston Globe, Ben Volen.
Questions from Benny.
Yeah, questions about the quarterback, I'm using air quotes here, competition. Mac Jones would, again, have to win by knockout here at training camp over the next few weeks for him to start week one. That ain't going to happen, as you just heard there from head coach Bill Belichick of the Patriots. Cam Newton is the starting quarterback. I think I said that. So, yeah, there would have to be an injury, precipitous drop-off, something for anything major to change. It's Cam's job to lose. I wish I could have heard that a little bit better. That's not B-Rob back in Dorchester. His fault, or the quality of the audio. They're blaring some sort of hideous country music here.
Yeah,
now.
They're trying to, they did this the other day, but it was a different, I think it was like Bon Jovi they were blaring. They basically try and blare the music that Cam would like the least during this period. They're trying to do some red zone and work on the silent count. So they did this the other day, but it was also music that I met. See, here goes the volume up right as they break the huddle, because he's trying to make sure the communication, the nonverbal communication is there. This is what they're working on.
Oh, this is okay. All right. So there really is reasoning behind
this.
Yeah,
no, there is a reasoning. It's to our detriment, but there is a reason behind it. They did it the other day when I was here, and it was just a stream of Bon Jovi.
Oh, that was a good ball from Cam right there.
Yeah, he's looked a lot more comfortable, I think, in the red zone through the first couple of days. And, there's better weapons around him. I've said this to you for a while, and I said it about the offseason when they spent the $175 million guaranteed. And obviously a big chunk of that went to the two tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. They're trying to invert the model. For so many years, you had the quarterback, capital T, capital Q, able to elevate what was around him and the rest of the team. I think now they realize with their quarterbacks, they need the rest of the team to elevate the quarterback. And so far in training camp, we've seen that. I think Cam does look better because you don't have to be pinpoint, or you have wide receivers and Aguilar and Bourne who can separate. That was a terrible throw.
That was bad.
but you can separate a little bit in tight confines and tight spaces, and you have tight ends you can just lob it up to. So they're trying to make it easier for Cam. He doesn't have to be as precise in this offense as maybe past quarterbacks. And let's just be honest, the guy's has been a great player, but I don't think at any point in his career did people say precision and efficiency were really his strengths. I think his strengths are making big plays, extending plays, not giving up on plays, being able to give guys a chance to make a play by buying more time. But as a precision passer, that's not his game. I always think he's people have sold him short in that area. I don't think he's as bad as people think. And I think going to last year, he wasn't as bad. I didn't think he'd be that bad. I don't think he's ever been that bad in his career, but that's not really his strong suit. As we talk about it, there's a nice fade route. It was incomplete off the hands of one of the tight ends, but simple read, easy throw for Cam. You don't have to do a lot there. It's like one-on-one. You throw it up to the tight end. He should come down with it. He didn't there, but that's what I think you're going
to
see.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So it's been a year plus since we've been here, thanks to COVID and the hell world we now live in. Last year, we weren't here, but I don't remember this drill, Chris. Did they do this with Brady when he was here?
They would definitely dial up the music. Yeah, they would turn it up. They would turn up the music. I mean, they're doing it for Mac now. They would turn up the music to work on the nonverbal.
Okay. Well, that was out of the end zone. That didn't look like the best of throws.
No.
So I really thought that they were just doing this for the crowd and to spite me.
No.
After coming back from commercial. Yes, let's crank. I had to Shazam it. I'm like, what is this awful thing we're listening to? Luke Combs, Cold as You. Here's some of the lyrics, Chris. This broke heart fool on an old bar stool, drinking beer almost cold as you. How do you people like this crap?
Can you give me
oh my God.
Can you do that in your country? The darn, darn,
darn, darn, darn. Sitting here on an old bar stool. Why am I hearing it even further? Oh, Josh Polonsky, our engineer down here, yes, again, also trying to spite me so that I get just crushed by the Luke Combs here. But I got to say, just from... this is a kind of cool drill. Again, I don't remember ever seeing this on any of the Saturdays we've been down here before.
Yeah.
But to try to rattle these guys, yeah.
Sure.
Blair, terrible music.
It's clearly rattled you.
Yeah, it has. I wouldn't be able to get out from under center. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
this off.
Yeah, you are clearly rattled. Like mid-sentence, you're stopping talking because you're like,
oh, God. All right, so your thoughts on Cam Newton being essentially named the starting quarterback just a few days into training camp down here at Gillette Stadium. Again, brought to you by your New England Honda dealers today. Bob in Needham, lead us off here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, so 17 weeks, he Belichick just talked about consistency. You can't judge someone after 2 days of this. So 17 games wasn't enough for you to watch last year. It's ridiculous, by the way. You know what? He watched Brady for 20 years, and he wanted to get rid of him 7 years before, 7 years ago. Really, you couldn't tell that he was still good? I mean, so what? How good a coach is he if he can't even judge the best player of all time right in front of him and say, you know what, I don't see any drop-off here. He's still great. Instead, he wanted to get rid of him 7 years ago, talking about his contract and his age. I mean, he wanted to ride him out of town on a rail.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll take I'm probably going to take a couple of victory laps today, especially when we get to the Celtics, but I'll take one victory lap on Brady in this regard. When he left here after 2019, and I pointed this out, I said, wow, the numbers are remarkably similar to 2013, which was another time the Patriots and Bill thought he was done. If you go back and read some of the stuff from Wickersham and others, they thought he's on the downside. They end up drafting Jimmy Garoppolo in 14, and 13 was a year where they had him throw to Josh Boyce and Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins, and we know what the receiver situation was in 19. That comparison I made was dead on, because then he went to another place where he had weapons and threw 40 touchdown passes. Yeah. So it wasn't Brady in decline, just like it wasn't Brady in decline in 09 or 13. It wasn't Brady in decline in 19. It was the lack of weapons that were around him. And I think the other thing, Murray, that we've learned about Belichick, to Bob's point, is that he kind of cares more about the fealty he gets from the player. That's more important to him than the actual production. All the talk about the Patriot way and all this other stuff, Bill never says the Patriot way, and I think there's a reason why. Because for him, and I've had people say this to me, that Bill would rather have a lesser talented player who is on board with the coaching than a more talented player that he feels like is challenging him or isn't all in on what the coaching staff is doing.
What's caught your eye when you were here the first couple of days? So it's speaking of like weapons and some of the personnel changes here. Has there been anything that caught your eye? It's like, ooh, someone was bigger, they're deeper at a certain position, anything like that?
A few things. You know, they're really deep at running back, and I think they're going to try and use the backside of the backfield more than non-James White guys, you know, Sony Michel, Damian Harris. That's a position where they're really deep, and they should be good. And that's, you know, I was here before Ramondre Stevenson even came off NFI. This is the rookie that they drafted, who I think could be pretty good. So that's a real position of strength for them. Maybe so much so that if they're weak at another position, they could flip one of those backs like Sony Michel, who's in the last year of his deal, and try and pick something else up. The tight ends have been impressive in my mind. They look like NFL tight ends. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they look like Travis Kelce or George Kittle or Gronkowski.
But they got to be better than Matt Lacoste.
Yeah, and maybe I'm overrating them just because it's been so long since I've seen what an NFL tight end looks like. But you just watch them play and you're like, ah, man, these guys look like good, like NFL tight ends. And then the other thing, I already mentioned this, but I say Aguilar and Bourne. We'll see what it's like when the pads come on and they're against another team. And for a lot of these sessions, they've been making these corners where these, like, you know, like the Juwan Williams, I'm going to commit a pass interference if I'm not wearing these mittens. So it's been easier for these guys to get a release. But I've noticed Bourne, and I've noticed that Aguilar, they just seem to be able to get separation better than the wide receiving core last year could.
You know, it's kind of annoying, in just the few minutes that we've been watching this session that they've been doing here with the blaring music. I can deal with the ZZ Top, by the way. Shout out to bassist Dusty Hill, who passed away this week at 72. Of the three quarterbacks, just in like the minute and a half, few minutes that we watched this, the best-looking one was Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I know.
Sharpest ball, looked the most confident in the pocket. God, why isn't Brady still here? It's
shout so out to annoying. Shout out to Felger, his boy. Holler at your boy, Felgy.
Quickly, why don't we go to the birthday boy in Lynn, our guy Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
What's up, boys? My birthday's on Monday, but anyways, I want to say, what's up? Man, oh, man, guys, Cam Newton's going to be the starter week one. Guys, we don't like that. Murray, you don't like that one bit.
Not really.
And anyways, no, I don't like it either. Why is he even going to be the starter? The kid should be starting, but you can't throw the kid in there. I got that one. So Belichick will have to think what he has to think. If he messes up, then he belongs in the Bahamas where he belongs.
Very good, Tommy.
All right, Tommy, and thanks for the call.
He's got his podcast, the Tommy Knows Best podcast. I forget where he's doing it. I think it's some Italian club in Lynn tonight. So check him out on Facebook if you want to get the details on that. We got the invite. I'm getting out of town. Can't make it, but thank you for the invite, and happy birthday, Tommy. All right, more from Patriots training camp coming up. Your thoughts on this Cam Newton news, even though it's really not much news. It's just, I think, what we all deep down really knew. Bill Belichick today saying Cam's the starter. I think I said that. So how's that make you feel? Because I think we kind of all deep down knew this. I wanted to believe kind of, oh, no, it's a clean slate. There's going to be a quarterback competition a handful of days in. We're not even through the first week of training camp, and the QB competition, fake, over. It never
Can exists. I just say this quickly? This is also classic Bill in that he's setting himself up to be right either way, because if Cam comes out and proves us all wrong and has a good year, he says, I told you, I re-signed Cam. I told you he was the guy.
Oh, right.
If Mac Jones takes over and is really good, it's going to be like, well, you know, the Patriots, the first quarterback Bill drafted in the first round, Mac Jones, you know, he wanted him all along. To the point that you were just making about, you know, what he's saying about Cam and all that other stuff, if he really were down on Cam or wanted a real competition, then in the first round they would have made sure they got Mac Jones. He kind of was just like, guy might fall to us. Okay, he's here. We'll take him, you know?
By the way, there was the Brian Hoyer we all know. It would have been a terrible interception in the end zone.
That was Kansas City, Brian Hoyer.
Why isn't Tom still here? All right, well, your thoughts on this Cam Newton story today, 617-779-0985. Your calls on this. Coming up again, we got to get to the Celtics moves that they made late last night, the MLB trade deadline. A lot to get to here on Gasper Murray from Patriots Training Camp.
Live from training camp, it's Gasper and Murray, presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Pats are on the field and Gasper and Murray are high up live from training camp. Presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, live from Patriots training camp. Again, brought to you by your New England Honda dealers. And the news heading into the fourth day officially of training camp? I've like lost track of the days.
It is, because Wednesday was the first practice.
Right. Bill Belichick said, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I said that, which essentially pours cold water all over the thought of any kind of real QB competition in my mind here. But I think, you know, deep down, didn't we all kind of know that this thing was going to be also a
sort
sham?
Of pour, yeah, exactly. A sham. And also, to me, sort of pours water a little bit on the Patriot way, like where it's about, oh, it's about production and it's about consistency and reliability. And, you know, everybody starts with a blank slate. It's like, no, if you kiss the coach's butt and he likes you, you get to keep your job unless you're like a massive failure, like unless you really, really stink, you know?
And so, look, we all know that Coach Belichick can be extremely stubborn and has been throughout his career at times. Is this just more of that? Like, he feels like he's got something to prove with Cam Newton that he feels indebted to him because Cam has said all the right things and has been the perfect soldier and all of that. And now it's gotten to a point, because so many people have said, like, this guy's washed up, he's not what he used to be, that this is one of the reasons he's sticking with him.
Yeah, I think Bill is emotionally invested in being right about Cam, sort of the same way he was about Jimmy Garoppolo, in the same way he was early with Brady, you know, early in Brady's career when it was Brady and Bledsoe. There's an emotional investment there because that person succeeding reflects positively on you and your decision making and your legacy. So I think he's emotionally invested. But I think what he likes the most is I think he really likes, and this changed with Brady towards the end, as you know, and anybody who's read The Dynasty or any of these books, you know, Connor's book, the stories from Wickersham, Brady started to question things a little bit more, started to be more of his own man, and Bill didn't like that. I think he really likes having a quarterback who's sort of a water carrier for his messaging. I think that's something that makes him feel really good and really comfortable, and Cam has done that to the fullest. You know, he praises the organization. He praises their approach to things. He praises the coach and says he has a direct line to the Almighty. Bill likes all that stuff because he feels like, okay, now the quarterback, the guy who should have the most sway in the locker room, is somebody who is, you know, able to be a messenger for me, is able to be a representative for me, is able to be a surrogate for me. And I think he likes that. I think he forgot how much he liked that. And that's why he's willing to overlook Cam's copious shortcomings as a quarterback at this point in Cam's career. I mean, the guy's had a great career.
He has. He absolutely has. You know, he's been one of the marquee players and names in the league over the last 10 to 15 years. He's just, I think he's not where he was a handful of years ago. Yeah, just some observations here over the last few minutes and through the commercial break. You know, you just had Cam Newton leading the offense. You have to take any of this with a grain of salt anyway, because, like, these aren't padded practices. But he just threw what would have been a touchdown to Jacoby Myers. It was behind him. So who knows whether that would have been completed again if these guys were in pads. And prior to that, on a few of the series that were led by Mac Jones, boy, did he feel the heat and did not look comfortable.
Yeah, I would say overall, one thing that's come up is that this is a more talented team on all three sides, you know, of the ball, all three facets of the ball, I should say. You can see it defensively, there's, you know, there's no pads and it's non-contact, but they have been able to beat some of the offensive linemen off the jump. They really, this is a team that's talented enough to make the playoffs if they get competent quarterback play. But that still remains the biggest question. Will they get competent quarterback play? It's noticeable, Jim, watching these guys now for 4 days, that this is a more talented team than last year. And it's not all the offense. You know, it's guys like Hightower's back. I know Van Noy's in a red non-contact, but just him running around. They have more talent. It's a playoff caliber team if they get what they need from quarterback.
But clearly the talent is more on the defensive side of the ball, you believe?
I do think that's the case, yeah. Last year, offensively, you look at them, they were 27th in the NFL in points per game. They were 24th in the red zone, which I think is one of the reasons they're really pounding the red zone here. I know Bill has said, and he's right, they normally start off with red zone stuff. But to me, the emphasis on that seems heightened even more than it has been in past years. And I think they know that's where they left not only points on the field, but, you know, wins in the standings last year, their inability to convert in the red zone. So they're really harping on that. But I do think that, you know, the defense, I think it'll be defense and opportunistic offense, efficient offense will be the calling cards of this team if they win 9-10 games and get back in the playoffs.
Again, he just does not look all that comfortable in the pocket.
That was a heck of a throw.
That was a heck of a throw,
though. By Mac Jones.
Yeah, he got out of some pressure and just threw a strike to the back, the left back of the end zone.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers. And in fairness to Cam, I don't know, you might have missed it, but he basically had the throw of the day down here earlier, a pinpoint fade route to Damian Harris. We've seen a lot of passes to the running backs. I think, and guys that aren't James White, I think that's one thing they want to do, and I know Josh has wanted to do it for a couple of years, is get away from the predictability of, oh, Sony Michel or Damien Harris is in the game. Well, you know, 65% chance there's a run. Oh, James White's in the game. Oh, you know, 65% chance there's a pass. I think they really want to be able to have a little bit more unpredictability based on which backs are in the game.
Drew in the car on this Cam Newton story from this morning. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, fellas. Love the show, first off. But I wanted to I didn't know if you guys kind of picked this up from Cam's sort of media presence yesterday, how he was saying, you know, he's going to limit the running now. And, you know, I think what we saw mostly of his sort of designed runs were what they're working on, the red zone, and exactly what you guys are talking about. He just doesn't look comfortable throwing the ball in the red zone, you know, on those short, quick passes, quick developing plays. Can't really get to it. So I didn't know if you guys kind of picked up on that. It was almost you could tell a mile away a designed Cam run was coming on the 1-2 yard line just about every time. And so I wasn't sure if that might change up sort of the game plan going on with Cam. And given that, Belichick basically said, all right, he's a starting quarterback going forward.
He said basically he's not going to be a battering ram anymore at this stage of his career.
Nor should he. The guy's taking an absolute beating.
But I still think when they get in the red zone, they'll run him. And, you know, people last year would be like, oh, the Cam Newton had 12 touchdowns. Why don't you only talk about the 8 passing touchdowns? Why don't you talk about the 12 touchdowns he had, the 12 rushing touchdowns?
Well, because those could have went to, you know, Harris or anyone else.
Those could have gone to James Devlin.
Right.
I mean, he was basically a glorified fullback in the red zone, when you look at it. And I still think that they will use him in that role again. He has value in that role, but it's just with the 12 touchdowns, again, you know, he has value in that role, but like I mentioned, they were 24th in the NFL in red zone. So they know they have to pass it there better. I think they became a little predictable, in the red zone with relying on Cam and his running ability, and I think they realize they have to diversify that a little bit. Certainly, he's a weapon down there with what he can do with his legs, but if that's all teams have to worry about, it's not going to work.
Long commercial-free segment coming up next. We'll touch on the Red Sox and the moves, if you can really call them that, at the MLB trade deadline yesterday by Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox, who now find themselves essentially in a first-place tie with the Tampa Bay Rays, who they lost to last night. Pressure's now on. And everyone else in the AL East got better, while your moves were at best. So we'll touch on this next. And if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. It's Gaspar Murray, live from Patriots training camp on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Live from training camp, it's Gaspar and Murray, presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This station.
The Pats are on the field, and Gasper and Murray are high above from training camp. Presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He struck him out. That's the ball game. Tampa Bay will take game one, and a Red Sox lead is now down to half a game. In the American League East, 7-3, the final in the first one.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, live from Patriots training camp. Final call, the Red Sox lost to the Tampa Bay Rays last night, 7-3. Red Sox now 63-42 on the year. Their lead in the American League East now down to just a half game, Chris.
Yes.
MLB trade deadline yesterday. I don't remember anything like it. I know Maz was saying this too, and you know, this is a guy that covered Major League Baseball, yes, and the Red Sox for years and years and years. We all know that. And he was saying too, like, I've never seen anything like that. I believe it was 10 All-Stars who were moved yesterday. And wow. You know, you had this strip down by the Cubs. Max Scherzer goes to the Dodgers. I mean, there were big, big moves. The biggest of the moves made by Chaim Bloom was made the day prior, the night prior, with Kyle Schwarber, he with his injury. You know, that, okay, so I like that addition. I don't really know where he's going to go. You would have liked, I think most people would have liked a legitimate first baseman. You know, Rizzo, who goes to the Yankees and hits a home run last night, would have been the perfect fit. But you end up with Kyle Schwarber and a couple of, pitchers that nobody has really heard of,
yeah,
both from the Pirates and from the Minnesota Twins in Hansel Robles. I want to be consistent because I said going into this, if Chaim Bloom brings in guys that are like, who, I've never heard of this guy, that's okay. At least there's been additions. But I'm sorry, given the names that were out there, given the names that were moved, given the connections and interest that the Red Sox supposedly had, I can't help but feel a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I think it was underwhelming. And my big takeaway with all the activity, particularly in the American League, was that other teams look at the Red Sox and see they think they're not a juggernaut. They don't care about the record. They think they're susceptible, both in the regular season to being caught and potentially in the playoffs, that even if they win the division, if you have to play them in a playoff series in a five-gamer or seven-gamer, they feel like they can beat them. And that was my big takeaway. I don't think teams like Toronto and the Yankees are as active as they are if they don't feel like once they get in, they can make some noise. And I think deep down, Chaim Bloom sort of felt the same way as those teams, that this team is not as good as they look on paper, not as good as their record, and they might be susceptible. I thought some of his quotes were really, really sort of telling when he met with the media. You know, here's one that he said. This is via a story from Alex Speer in the Boston Globe. We know how hard it is to get to this position, and we don't take that for granted. But at the same time, we want to win a lot, and we want to win every year. If we want the future to be really good, you have to take care of the future, and you have to care about that. You know, translation, we're prioritizing the future over now. We thought we were just going to have a representative team that would be competitive and not embarrassing. We weren't expecting to be contenders, and so everything's gravy, and we're not going to really invest in this team because we didn't think that they would be the next great Red Sox team. I'm still building the next great Red Sox team, and I'm more invested in that than this team. That's the reality.
Yeah, and so overall, I'm okay with that because they should be thinking longer term. I'm now at that point. I used to disagree with Maz on this. Like, it's okay. It's all about the title. Who cares if you have a down couple of years? It's become too heckle and jide with the Red Sox. If they're about sustainability right now, that's okay. They should be in the mix every single year. But I don't want to hear anything about the luxury tax threshold at this point. And that feels like that's why they maybe didn't make a move for someone like Rizzo. It just feels like they might have cheaped out. And again, from a financial standpoint, you're one of the richest ball clubs or one of the richest franchises in all of professional sports. I don't want to hear this team like bitch about money, and that's why they're not making moves. That's what makes it frustrating. And it's, I get that they feel like they're playing with house money this year, Chris, but now you brought this up yesterday. It's a great point. Look at someone like the San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
They're basically the mirror of you in the National
yes.
League, and they went and got Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant, they went in on it. They said this wasn't part of our plan, but we recognize what's happening. So if I had one sort of criticism of Bloom, it would be that I feel like he might be a little too rigid in just sticking to this plan. Like another thing he said, you know, yesterday, we just aren't going to do something when we think those moves are running counter to our goal. Counter to your goal. Isn't your goal to win? Isn't your goal to win the World Series?
Yeah.
It seems like his goal, again, they're clearly prioritizing sustainability over winning right now.
All right, let's go down to the field and hear from Patriots running back Sony Michel as camp wrapped up today.
How's training camp going so far? Training camp going good. Glad to be out here, glad to be playing football. I'm sure everybody feels the same way. We get days and opportunities to, play the game we love and have fun doing it. Just going back to the basics. I think a lot of people, myself, it's always good just to go back to the basics and work on the fundamentals of the game, your strength, your size, your speed. Try to get those things in tune so when you come to training camp, you're ready to go. I feel pretty good. I have ways to go, and that's what training camp is for. It's for me to try to feel better and better, feel stronger as the season go, as training camp go, and that's what I'm hoping for. Injuries come and go. It comes with the profession. It comes with the game. You have to take the good with the bad. I appreciate it. It helped me learn to be a professional, and that's what I did.
That made you a better player in some ways, do you think?
Definitely. It made me a better player, better person, especially of knowing how to take care of your body, trying to get your body back to where it was, if not even better. A person of knowing how to deal with a little bit of adversity, and trying to come back from, something, a little setback. That's always my mindset, trying to finish strong, no matter how I start, no matter how the season is going. You always just want to finish where you're at, finish strong. Oh, it's good. He's a strength to our offense, a strength to our team. We have a lot of good guys up there blocking. I'm excited. Yeah, it's a great team right now. Great offense. Guys are working to get better, to get comfortable back with each other. It's a new team, new year, so, it takes these practices to get back into form and trying to, take day in, day out and try to get better. You good? Appreciate you.
Thanks, Sony. Appreciate it.
All right, Patriots running back Sony Michel with the usual nothing.
I was a little surprised no one asked him about, sort of the Patriots not picking up his fifth-year option and how he feels about that and the overall running back room.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm also reading here from Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal down here covering the Pats, and he writes today that rookie Ramondre Stevenson had a strong day, showed off good hands to go with a solid burst after the catch, made a nice touchdown catch. And here's the question, Chris. Is Sony Michel here by week one? Hold that thought, because there is a hole with the L.A. Rams, who lost Cam Akers to injury just about a week ago. There might be a fit there. So I want your thoughts on that after the headlines here. It's our long commercial-free segment. You want to join us also on the news that it is going to be Cam Newton week one, whether you like it or not. Bill Belichick reiterating today, Cam's our quarterback. I'll update you here in the headlines. But you want to join us on that, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray from Patriots Training Camp.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.